Okay, welcome to the second week of the BNB Connection. With me is Brad Schoenfeld, my good friend, and in my opinion, one of the top hypertrophy experts in the world. In fact, Brad, I coined you the hypertrophy specialist. You have me to thank for that.
I do, man, and I thank you every day.
So today's episode, we're going to do this each week, and Brad and I are just going to come up with the topic. We kind of come up with it on the fly. We decided this week to talk about HIIT training versus, well, one set training compared to multiple set training. And it's the one set to failure camp is attributed to the HIIT camp, HIT. Which stands for high intensity training, which is kind of a funny name for it, Brad, don't you think?
Again, it depends upon your perspective. I know the intensity that really there's been this issue with intensity that we've talked about in private before. But yeah, I mean, I think the focus there is the fact that they recommend doing one set to as all out as hard as you can, and that's all you need. So I guess that's where it comes from. But it is a little misleading, I think.
Well, it's HIIT training is not to be confused with HIIT, which stands for high intensity interval training. High intensity interval training is where you alternate between bouts of very high intensity exercise with bouts of low intensity exercise, usually referred to when talking about conditioning work, like say you're on the bicycle or the treadmill or something and you do a 30-second all-out sprint, followed by like 5 minutes of pedaling at a moderate or low intensity. But I would argue that weight training is a form of high-intensity interval training as well,
I agree.
especially if you do like go intense. But the whole this whole topic of intensity, that's a whole other topic. But there are some good researchers have really brought that issue to the forefront in the literature. Who is it, Brad? It's Steele and what other researchers?
This was an article by Baker. Really the article in question that we wanted to talk about.
Well, hold on. Before we go to this article, let's talk about intensity.
Oh
The
yeah,
word intensity itself,
right. Steele and
the
Fisher.
word intensity itself, this is who? Steele and Fisher? They've done a good job of pointing out in the literature that you can't just say the word intensity, because it could mean two different things. Intensity, you could have intensity of load or intensity of effort. So intensity of load would be basically the percentage of one rep max. And that's what intensity, you see that most often in the literature, where you'll say this is high intensity, meaning it's heavier weight for compared to your maximum capabilities. If you can bench press 300 pounds and you're using 290 pounds, it would be at a higher intensity than if you were using 200 pounds. But that is a little bit nebulous because you have to consider the t intensity of effort as well. If you lift 90% of your one rep max one rep versus 70% of your one rep max to utter complete failure, you could be lifting at a higher intensity with a lighter weight if you go by intensity of effort. So intensity of effort is kind of like going how close to failure you go or how hard you're pushing yourself relative to your maximum capabilities. So that's just a side note. When we talk about intensity, all strength and conditioning experts and bloggers and writers and we should step it up and use better language. We should start clarifying the term intensity and saying intensity of load or intensity of effort to better explain what we're talking about. So thanks to the researchers, Steele and Fisher, for bringing that to the forefront, because we all need to be better about that. So when we talk about high intensity training, HIIT training, really that what they're talking about is intensity of effort, because the whole adage is that you do one set to failure and that's enough. So Brad, before you talk about the study, the reason why we wanted to talk about this is this was a hot topic this week. So before Brad describes the first paper we wanted to talk about, let me just tell you, because I followed the HIIT training crowd for a while, and I actually really liked it. I saw good results doing HIIT training, and probably because for 8 straight years prior, I was doing high volume training, and I had never really learned how to push the intensity of effort stimulus that hard. And let me tell you, you get really good at doing one set to failure in moderate rep ranges. You get to where you can push that set so hard because you're just doing one of them. You get a lot better at it, just like with any other form of training. But their claim is that you get all the adaptations come from that one set. If you push yourself to the brink of momentary muscular failure, you will reap all the benefits. You will signal that muscle to grow to its maximum capabilities and the neuromuscular system to achieve all the possible adaptations as long as you just push that one set to failure. And you don't need to do any more. Any subsequent sets are, you know, not needed. So, Brad, do you agree with that?
Do I agree with what? That the definition that you're saying, or yeah, the claims, that those are the claims. Whether I agree with the concept is a different story. But yes, that is what the HIIT crowd does say, and that's was perpetuated by Arthur Jones. Was certainly popularized back in the '60s by Arthur Jones.
And Arthur Jones was the inventor of Nautilus equipment. And he had a good little routine. A lot of NFL football teams use this. You used his machines. You did one set to failure on, like, say, 12 machines. You achieved a full body workout, and it was pretty safe, a very safe regimen, and people saw pretty good results from it, all things considering. So Brad is going to talk about a recent study that just – Brad, was this just published ahead of print?
Well, no, it's published. Actually, it's online, and we'll post it on the blog. You'll post it on your blog when you upload this. But it was by a group led by Baker, J.S. Baker et al., and it was titled Strengthen Body Composition Changes in Recreationally Strength-Trained Individuals, Comparison of 1 versus 3 Sets Resistance Training Programs. And it was an interesting study. I actually critiqued this for Alan Aragon's excellent research review, AARR, in depth. And just I want to touch on the basics here rather than going on an in-depth critique, because certainly the article has some merit, and there were some issues that I pointed out. But I think the real issue here, and my problem is it's getting trumpeted by a lot of people in the HIIT community as, hey, here's an article, a research study showing that, yes, HIIT is just as effective as multi-set training. And the thing is, the study really didn't look at 1 set versus 3 sets. So here's the rub. The researchers set it up so that the subjects trained their chest, back, and shoulders. And they did 3 exercises for each muscle group per session. So for instance, for the shoulders, they did shoulder presses, upright rows, and lateral raises. And the 1 set group did 1 set of each of those exercises. The 3 set group did 3 sets of each of those exercises. And they trained Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 8 weeks. Well, basically, the 1 set group was doing 9 sets per week. And that's roughly equivalent to what most bodybuilders who do multi-set protocols will do. Or certainly it's within that realm. So really, it's not the true 1 set versus multi-set. It's 9 sets per week versus 27 sets per week. And what it really brings out, I think, one of the more interesting aspects of the study, it's looking at what is the threshold of volume that's necessary beyond which there's no additional results that you'll see. And in this particular instance, it showed that in the subjects trained, which were recreationally trained, and if you actually look at the values of their 1RMs, they said 1 year experience. It seems to me they might have been lying. they were very modestly trained. But anyway, that's regardless. But the 9 sets per week was just as effective as 27 sets. And look, there's no question that there is a threshold. That could we do 100 sets? Is that going to keep results improving? Well, no. Beyond a certain point, certainly we know that that is not the case. So Brett, you want to come? You want to? I
Well, so basically, this study in particular, there have been, Brad, how many studies since the 70s have been conducted on one set versus three sets? So probably
dozens.
100?
Yeah, dozens.
200?
Dozens. Yep.
I mean, there's so many studies on this topic.
Yep.
So we don't need to get all excited about any additional study. It's very important to look at the whole body of evidence. Now, this particular study, Brad is basically saying that it was a high frequency protocol as well. They're doing one set to failure of three different exercises three times a week. So you're getting nine sets versus 27 sets. So you feel, Brad, that it would have been a better study design to do one session per week or maybe two?
No. Well, I would have not, instead of doing three exercises for the chest, I would have done one X. Ultimately, a HIIT routine, if you look at the classic Ellington Darden, really the classic HIIT programs are total body routines, one set for each major muscle group, and it's done Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that's your routine. Those are,
I think back, like, because I also followed Stuart, what is it, Stuart McRobert or Robert?
Stuart Robert, Robert, yep.
He wrote a book, he wrote a few books, Brawn,
yep.
Beyond Brawn, and Further Brawn. And you know, I have all those books. They're very good books, and it's very, so we're going on, I don't know how long this recording is, but we got to keep this in under 30 minutes. So basically what I want to say is I think all strength and conditioning coaches and, you know, people who lift weights should take the time to learn about HIIT training. I've written about HIIT training several times on my blog. I used HIIT training with my girlfriend Diana just over the last couple months. I was using HIIT training with her because she's so busy with school. She has 20 minutes to train, you know, twice a week. Well, if you have 20 minutes to train twice a week, you can achieve incredible results from HIIT. And would you agree, Brad, that it's the most effective form of training for if you don't have, if you have, you know, limited time availability?
Yeah, I mean, I think HIIT is so. So yeah, here's to me the take home from my perspective is that I'm certainly not anti-HIIT. I think it's a very efficient way to train. I think you can achieve. I know you can achieve excellent results. I've used HIIT over various periods throughout my training career. And yeah, you can achieve a very impressive physique through HIIT. Now, that said, the research is very clear that there is a volume association between volume and results and hypertrophic results, that the greater volumes will lead to greater hypertrophy up to a certain point.
So let's discuss now. So if we look at research, what I said earlier, you want to look at the entire body of research. Now, there were two papers written by James Krieger. James Krieger is a guy who Brad and I both have a ton of respect for. In fact, Brad just did a – didn't you just publish a study with him?
Well, it's currently in peer review now. But, yeah, we actually conducted a meta analysis using very similar analytics on protein timing. So, yeah.
So James also, just like me, he has a research review service. He's just a very I've got a lot of respect for him. He's an evidence-based guy. He knows his stuff. He's very well versed in statistics. So in the years 2009 and 2010, I will link these on my blog. 2009, he published a paper in the JSCR, the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. The title is Single versus Multiple Sets of Resistance Exercise: A Meta-Regression. And here's the last sentence of the abstract. In conclusion, 2 to 3 sets per exercise are associated with 46% greater strength gains than one set in both trained and untrained subjects. So that's looking at strength. The next year, in 2010, he published another article in the JSCR titled Single versus Multiple Sets of Resistance Exercise for Muscle Hypertrophy, a Meta-Analysis. So this one looked at hypertrophy, and his last sentence in the abstract is, in conclusion, multiple sets are associated with 40% greater hypertrophy-related effect sizes than one set in both trained and untrained subjects. So
And Brett, I would do want to point out too that he used a very sophisticated technique called Mater regression, where you actually take out other variables. So it's not just looking at the base one set versus three sets, but he also looked at various potential confounding factors that were factored into the analysis. And this basically held true throughout the Mater regression.
So we're halfway in, Brad. We're 15 minutes in. And we're sticking to this 30 minutes because if you don't keep me in check, I will ramble for two straight hours. That's of a proven track record. So we've got 15 minutes left, Brad. Let's talk about the pros and cons of HIIT. So let's talk about the pros real quick. Have you ever done HIIT, Brad?
Yeah, I mentioned before. I've used it through several periods throughout my training career. It is extreme. I mean, if you want to talk about pros, it's a very efficient way to train. You can get a good portion of the results that you get with multi-set training just by doing HIIT in a fraction of the time, in a third or so of the time. So that's a very strong reason to do HIIT.
Now, would you agree with the premise or the notion that all of your gains come from that first set and no other stimulus is necessary?
No, as a matter of fact, I think that's pretty well proven that that's not the case. I think that's, first of all, there's never any evidence.
Research never proves anything.
Well,
you always say that to me, Bert.
Yes, you are correct. And that was
Bert, I got you back.
The tongue.
I've been waiting for that.
It is highly, it's been very well shown that we can pretty much discount that. And I've never seen any evidence that would infer that.
It's just, I try to wrap my thoughts around this. First of all, you're going to get best at the rep range that you do the one set in. So if you're practicing like something around, say, a 10 rep max, and that's what you use for your HIIT training, you'll get really good at that rep range. But you won't get good, you won't see quite as good results in other rep ranges. So, for example, you look at West Side Training, one of the features of their program is that they're maxing out week in, week out. They get really good at max effort training because they're going heavy every week. If you want to develop maximal strength, you got to go heavy. You can't just lift in the 10, do like a 10 or a 15 rep max. So you will get very good at the rep range you're doing. But, you think of remember Arnold's encyclopedia? He talked about how he thought of the squat workout as like a 10-minute, mini marathon that, I'm going, God, he finishes squats in 10 minutes? That's how those bodybuilders back then trained in the 80s. Like they wouldn't rest much, and they just, because I'll take 30 minutes at the squat rack when I'm doing my squats. But anyway, they would look at it like a 10-minute stimuli. And, I mean, you look at rest-pause training and – you look at all the bodybuilders and powerlifters. I'm sorry, anecdotes, I like looking at anecdotes. I don't know of one single lifter who does one set to failure. Even the cases where people go, oh, but Dorian Yates did one set to failure. No, he actually did like three warm-up sets, progressively heavier warm-up sets, culminating in one set to failure. And even the old experiments with like Casey Viator and Arnold back with Arthur Jones, you have all these reports of people seeing them train with higher volume at other facilities. They do their training with Arthur, and then they'd sneak off to a gym and do more volume because they deep down knew that volume is a very potent hypertrophy stimulus. However, maybe I don't think we can come up with a number, but maybe 80% of the gains come from that first set.
Yeah,
but
and I would agree with that. I think that, like I said, you will get a lot of the results. So a majority of the results, I do think, are if you go all out on a single set, you can get a majority of the gains. But that majority, if your goal is to so if your goal is not to maximize hypertrophy, but just to get a good physique, and you're limited in time, it's a very efficient system, and I certainly, it's not that
what
I...
What if your goal, Brad, is to maximize hypertrophy but you only have 20 minutes to train twice a week?
So now you're putting, when you start putting restrictions on, if you only have 20 minutes per week, then you do a HIIT routine, but you're not going to maximize hypertrophy. So again,
right.
You will get, the point is that it's been pretty clearly shown. I mean, I would say there is compelling evidence, and meta analyses by James Krieger really are at the forefront of that, that multi-set training provides an additive effect, that you will get increased hypertrophy. Now, whether that is meaningful to a person, that's up to the individual to discern. And here's the other point that I want to make, that it is undeniable that this will vary between individuals, that some people will achieve a greater percentage of their maximal potential with one set, and some people will need or can do a lot more volume and achieve greater results.
Good point.
About inter-individual variability. And one thing I always want to point out, and I think it's really important to point out here, is that when you look at a research study, it gives you the mean. And that means the mean in this case means average. When you're looking at averages, that means that invariably, it means that there are people that produced much higher results and people that produced much lower results. But those aren't, they don't report that. They don't talk about that in the study. They're just going to report a number. And if you're looking at the mean, well, it's not fair and not, it's really not, you can't extrapolate that one person is going to achieve that mean. You might be on the high end, you might be on the low end. And it does speak to the fact that the principle of individual differences always applies, and exercises in an individual science. We need to take this information. We need to be evidence-based, but then we need to apply it to the individual. You can't just look at studies and say, well, because the studies show this, you're going to respond best in this way.
Good point. And, you know, it makes me think of a client I trained today. She gets better. Like, I'll have her warm up, and then she'll do, like, say I'll have her do 3 sets of 5 with the same weight. She gets better as her sets go on. And, you know, I've trained, you know, a dozen people like that throughout my lifetime. I'm not like that. I go, like, say I do 3 sets of chin-ups with body weight, and I go to failure. My first set I'll get, like, 12. The next set I'll get, like, 8. And the third set I'll get, like, 4. I mean, my strength drops off quick. But there are people who, in this case, she was doing bench press today. She got 4, then she got 5, then she got 6, her third set. Yeah. You have people like that. So they're probably going to see better results with multiple sets. But we've got 7.5 minutes left. I want to talk about 2 more things. First, I want to talk about a sample HIIT routine, because I do think that if the reason why HIIT is so important to know about is because so many people, when they get busy, they think, oh, I got to give up strength training because I'm not going to retain my strength. I just don't have enough time to train. And most people can find, you know, 2 20-minute sessions. Even when you're at your all-time busiest, you can find 2 20-minute sessions to lift weights. Now, maybe you need 30 minutes because you need 10 minutes to warm up or something. But the point is, if you can lift weights twice a week for 30 minutes, you can keep even if you're an experienced lifter, you can keep a ton of your strength. Like, most of your strength you can retain by just doing these quick workouts. And some people will even gain strength. And if more people knew that, you wouldn't see people quitting resistance training when times get tough, when they get busy. They would stick with it. So here's a sample, here's what I did back in the day. I would do 2 lower body exercises. I'd do like a squat and a deadlift, but in Beyond Brawn, they would do like squats. And then they do like stiff leg deadlifts for the hammies. So you're hitting the quads and glutes with the squats and getting the hammies and glutes with the stiff leg deadlift. But they also love the trap bar for people who weren't, you know, who experienced problems with regular deadlifting. So they love their trap bar too. And you would do 1 set of failure with you do just 1 set with 20 reps. You would take your 10 rep max, you would go all out, you try to get 20 with it. And you try and go up, you know, each week with that, which gets really hard after a while. You get really good at pushing the set to failure on those. So you do like just 1 or 2 lower body exercises, and then that took care of your, you know, leg development. And then you do, pick a variety of upper body exercise that work the different muscles. Maybe you pick maybe it was like dumbbell incline press and military press and a weighted chin-up and a seated row or something like that. You'd pick, like, say, 4 exercises and you'd go to failure. So that's one way to do it. So you do, like, maybe, say, 6 exercises just one set of each. So you do your set of, say, squats. It takes you like 5 minutes for your heart rate to come back down because your heart's going through the roof. Then you'll do your, say, your set of stiff leg deadlifts, rest a few minutes, do your set of dumbbell incline. You can warm up a little bit, get the muscles warm, but you're really just doing one set to failure. That's an example of a HIIT routine. I've also had success breaking into upper and lower body sessions, but really your sessions go really quick. And I've even thrown isolation into the mix. So that's an example of how to do it. Now we're going on 25 minutes, 30 seconds. We've got 4.5 minutes left. For this component, I want to talk real quick about the critics of the volume research and the proponents of HIIT in the literature. So, Brad, there are a couple researchers, Carpinelli and different guys. Carpinelli has been very critical of the research supporting multiple sets. Do you give him the benefit of the doubt? Do you think he's what? Like, I'll just be honest, Brad. I think he's has an agenda. I think he's biased. I think he looks at the research and tries to pick it apart here. I've read when Carpinelli is he's arguing my side. I love him because he's great. He's a very skilled arguer. He's great, and I'm not saying I don't like guys like him in the research. They're important to have guys who will stand up and challenge things. But in this area, I gotta say the evidence supports multiple sets, in my opinion. Brad, talk about that for a couple minutes.
Yeah, and I don't know Carpinelli at all, so I certainly can't speak from a personal standpoint. I'll just kind of make more of a general comment that there tends to be a cultish element to some of, and certainly I'm not stereotyping and casting a wide net here, but there is a certain element within the HIIT community that has this cultish attitude, and it's that, hey, it's not only that we believe that HIIT's a good way to train, but we have to prove that it is as good as any other, as a multi-set training at all costs, and damn the research, and we're going to fight it. And that to me is just a very unscientific way to look at things. We need to be objective. And it sets back science when we take this attitude of confirmation bias and trying to cherry pick what we believe to prove our point. I will tell you that I did read Carpinelli's review of Krieger's meta-analyses, and I thought he was way off base. And Krieger, by the way, did an excellent job of rebutting basically everything he said. And I think basically he didn't understand a lot of the...
Krieger did that on his blog, right?
Blog, yeah. And I basically think Carpinelli didn't understand some of the statistical measures used, number one. And I think he was, again, just trying to prove his point without regard to what the research is showing. So there's nothing wrong with saying that, look, it's an effective way to train. Yeah, if you want to optimize your muscle growth, you can do some more sets. There's nothing wrong with that. And we should never be, we've talked about this a lot, Brett, as scientists, we should always be open to research. We should never be beholden to our closely held beliefs. We should always be open. And as you have, I love the phrase that you told me from John Cronin, saying that this is what I know today, but I reserve the right to change my opinion based upon what evidence comes out tomorrow. And really, that's how all, as scientists, that's how we should live our lives and approach the field of exercise science.
So we've got 1 minute left. So in summary, HIIT is a very effective form of training. If you have limited time, if you've got, you know, 20 minutes, 2-3 times a week, do HIIT, and you will see great results. HIIT is a, you know, do full body workouts, choose compound exercises, choose moderate rep ranges like 6 to 12 rep range, except in the lower body, go use higher rep ranges like 20 and learn breathing squats. You can learn about that online. That's probably the best way to train if you have limited time availability. But if you have more time, if time is not an issue, do more volume. Learn from what the bodybuilders and the powerlifters do. Volume is a great stimulus. And that's that.
And I would add that volume is something that needs to be studied a lot more. And one of the things, just anecdotally, that I've found is that if you periodize it in a way that if you just keep training with high volumes over a period of time, chances are you're going to end up getting burned out. So and overtrained, really.
That's a whole other topic, though.
So but my point would be that you would need to then build up volume over a course of time rather than just train with high volumes all the time.
Yep, agree. All right, Bradley, thank you very much. This was a good second episode. Stay tuned for next week.
Later.